If I could just start off with just talking about New South Wales in general. New South Wales has always had big fires. There's actually nothing new here. I know that there seems to be a perception that we have in the last 15 years through management caused a situation where we've got larger fires. But if you look at the statistics, that doesn't seem to actually show up. Since 2000, we've lost 1.13 million hectares of bushland in those 6 or 7 years. Now, that's a lot of land, and I'm not actually dismissing the fact that those areas have been burnt. But if we want to go back in history and compare it, which is what we should do, if we want to look at scientific evidence, let's go back in history. In 1951-52, 68-69 and 74-75 fire seasons, each of those fire seasons burnt 4 million hectares. So I guess the point I'm making is there actually is nothing new here. Now, in saying that, I'm not saying we have nothing to learn, because we do have things to learn, but I just think we need to keep the debate to a matter of fact as opposed to opinion. And I know there's a lot of conjecture about how we should manage bushland, and I'm not saying we shouldn't manage it. We should burn it. We'd actually like to burn more bushland. We get about, 40% of our planned burning activities we manage to carry out. And that's not an environmental restriction, that's a climatic restriction. I think in last year, one area we looked at, we had 54 available days of burning. Now, in 54 days, you're trying to balance, certainly in our case, volunteer availability. You've got, obviously, a lot of burn-offs that you want to actually carry out. 54 days isn't a lot of time to do that. We've also got the problem that we've got just between, those of you who know New South Wales, between Wollongong and Newcastle, encompassing Sydney, there's some 3,000 kilometres of urban interface. It's not simply as simple to walk out the back fence and drop a match. These things actually are very, very resource intensive. To carry out a burn-off of something like 10 hectares in those sort of urban environments, we normally would have 10 or 20 appliances. So I guess the point I'm making in doing that is that it is a complex problem. We don't have all the answers, and obviously we're looking to the CRC to help us provide those answers. But we certainly, are trying our best, and we certainly don't have a no-burn policy. It's been suggested in recent times that we should burn something like every 5 years the landscape should be burnt. Now, considering we have 20 million hectares of bushfire-prone land in New South Wales, which doesn't include grassland, that's just bush, you're talking about 4 million hectares a year that we're going to burn. So that's the worst of our fire seasons every year that's going to be burnt. And let me tell you, from being on the receiving end of the complaints that we get every single year when we carry out burn-offs from environmental groups as far as air quality, we get hammered by these groups every year. Now, I'm not walking away from hazard reduction. It's absolutely important and it's vital. And I think that this earlier speaker's made some really good points about hazard reduction, and we need to have a good look at it. But let's do it on the basis of fact as opposed to speculation. I think the other thing, and Jerry made some really good points, it's not just about burning. There's a whole series of things that we need to do. And development control was one thing that Jerry did mention that I think that we're very strong on. We actually have the fire service look at all developments as far as the subdivisions, as far as people building in bushfire-prone areas. We look at all these things. We pass comment on them. But unfortunately, that doesn't get us away from the legacy of previously poor planning decisions, which we're dealing with and will be dealing with for many years to come. The other thing that we need to look at, though, is community education and engaging the community. That's not necessarily talking to the community. That's getting community participation and having them as part of the solution as opposed to just being talked at. Now, that's something that we're trying to do now with our new risk management planning process. We want to actually ask them for their opinions and see what they want to do and what they envisage for their landscape. Excuse me. And I think that's really to do with broader risk management planning, bringing the community to that. We piloted a program in the Goobang National Park area, which basically went around and spoke to all the landholders, asked them for their opinions, It was a 10-year blind plan, and what we ended up doing was having fire trials crossing private tenure, and it's actually a very successful plan, and we're looking at rolling that across the state. And I'm not saying for the whole country, but say New South Wales, if fires aren't necessarily burning more area, why then is the perception there? And I suggest that part of the reason why that perception is there is the fact that the media and internet presence is there as it was never there before. People know about these things. We have live crosses from fires all the time. People then obviously know about these things. They become more aware of it. Back in the 1950s, I hardly think that people would have been watching footage of that on their evening news or watching it on a broadcast from the internet. And obviously, so people become more aware. They suddenly think something's changed. And I guess the point is that certainly drought, climatic change is having an effect on fire behaviour, and I think there's no doubt on that. We've seen it time and time again over the last couple of seasons. But I think that the awareness of the community has on fire has also played a part in this. So I guess that, in conclusion, that I don't think, and I think Jerry used the term, there is no silver bullet here. There is a range of activities we need to consider, which included those development control things, carrying out hazard reduction, dealing with complaints of fire hazards across all tenures, including public lands. These need to be dealt with. Education and engagement and detection and response. So there's no one single thing that is going to give us a solution. But if we want to continue to live, I guess, with a natural amenity that is the bushland, then it's inevitable that sometimes that large fires will occur, and I guess perhaps they may even achieve mega size. Thank you very much.